The scripture reading today is taken from 1 Thessalonians 3, 9-13. How can we thank God enough for you in return, for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all of his saints. This is the word of the God.
Thank you. And what Tom read for us, you know, the point of what Paul was writing to the Thessalonians there was that they would be ready when Christ returned. You know, some of them had been alive since before Jesus was born, but they already were living where we are between the first and the second coming. I have a friend and colleague, Tim Bogertman, who is pastor of the First Congregational Church in Revere. Let's see his picture there. Good guy. Just this past Sunday, November 21st, I happened to look in on how his service went. He, like me, starts with announcements, but he opened the service with a different kind of announcement. He reminded the congregation they'd been praying for a woman named Bertina Lehrman, who had formerly attended their church, but Bertina's now in Maine. Well, she contracted COVID. She was hospitalized. She was intubated. 60 days passed. The team at the hospital told the family, particularly her children, to prepare for goodbye. The family went shopping for a headstone. They sold her possessions. Then they set a time to gather at the hospital for the pulling of the plug. The nurse called Andrew, Bertina's son, and said, "You need to get to the hospital right away." "Why? What's wrong?" "Your mother woke up." Outside of this issue of selling the belongings, it's all pretty good news. She's walking. She's recovering. It's leave it to People magazine to show that photo. But we praise God. He still answers for prayer. You know, she's up walking. You know, it's wonderful. You know, and answered prayer is so important. It helps us in these in-between times we live in. All of you who had attended last Sunday's relevant service, and if you weren't here, look at the tape we have of it, or whatever. It's not tape anymore, I know. But all those who were there heard wonderful testimony of powerful answers to prayer. Because this is what happens in the kingdom of God. Prayers are answers. Well, you know, that quick little litany in the opening song. Chains are broken, hearts are healed, and eyes are opened. Christ is revealed. The success rate of adult and teen challenge in helping men and women overcome drug addiction far exceeds other options. When you serve a God who still answers prayer, you can live without fear. With Christmas coming on a Saturday this year, the traditional 4 weeks of Advent start just about as early as they can. Now, I know our culture wants to forget Advent and go straight to Christmas, but remember, that's because no one ever buys anybody Advent presents. Advent means the coming or the arrival. And not just anything or anyone coming, but the Savior of the world. The prophecies of God sending a Savior begin in the third chapter of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. More can be found in most of the Old Testament. It was a big deal, and not because Christmas is an advertiser's dream. When the Savior comes, he puts to right what the fallen human race has done wrong. Justice and righteousness, setting the world right, setting right the wrong, doing what is right, justice, righteousness. Those are the characteristics of the kingdom where God's anointed servant, the Messiah, the Christ, reigns supreme. We need that. I read about children being killed as they march in a community Christmas parade, and I know we need justice and righteousness. I hear politicians from both parties forget that they are elected to serve the people and distort the truth because they want more power for themselves, while the working poor can't find a home to live in. And I know we need justice and righteousness. We need to support and encourage all those who seek to serve the public with integrity. I see propaganda preying on the confusion and fears of young people, pushing them towards self-mutilating surgery, the consequences of which their pre-adolescent minds can't possibly understand. And I know we need justice and righteousness. I study what's going on in Haiti, closer to Boston than Denver is. And my heart aches that gangs have taken over that country. And since I wrote that sentence, I found out yesterday another colleague and friend who lives in the Cape has a nephew in Trinidad who was gunned down by gang violence. It's not okay for us to live well while neighbors can't even survive. We need justice and righteousness. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Is there anything more central to the longings of the human heart than for God to cause his righteous agent, his Christ, to show up on our scene and make justice and righteousness happen? Now, that's kind of a push toward the second coming, and don't get me wrong, it's a very big deal that Jesus was born for us in Bethlehem. He both showed us the way to the Father and made a way for us when he died on the cross, and proved it was the way to the Father when he rose from the dead on Easter Day. But all this only gave us a glimpse. His 3 years of ministry only gave us a glimpse of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. When we long for justice and righteousness, when we look around us and say, "How long, Lord?" When we say, "How come soon, Lord Jesus?" we are longing for the return of Christ. We are longing for the second advent. We live between the already, Christ has come, and the not yet. He will not fully establish his kingdom until he comes again in glory. We live in the in-between. But we're not alone. We're not left as orphans. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside each Christian believer. We have the key information that helps us to live victoriously, knowing that Jesus will return and establish justice and righteousness enables us to face trouble without fear. If we do what the world does and celebrate Christmas without Advent, we're missing out, because Christmas is incomplete without Advent. And this has always been true. It was true in the time of the prophet Jeremiah. If you ever wondered why we need Advent, the Cohen family answered it for us with the reading they gave us from that Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah. In verse 15 of chapter 33 that they read, God promised that when the time is right, or was right in that case, he would cause a righteous agent to arise for the house of David, that this righteous branch would cause justice and righteousness to thrive upon the earth. He was looking forward to Christ coming the first time, and at the same time, also looking forward to the second coming. Jeremiah was promising hope against hope. Jeremiah the prophet was in exile. His country, which had been told by God they were his special chosen people, had abandoned their birthright and ran after the pleasures of the world. Consequently, Israel had been overrun by foreign invaders. All their most capable people carried away to another country. It looked absolutely hopeless. And perhaps the greatest reason for that hopelessness was God's perceived silence. Isn't it hard when we're going through a hard time and we don't hear an answer, we don't know why, we don't know when it'll end? Earthly parents weep and wail to see their child endure consequences of his or her poor choices. It's hard for the parents to watch because they might well have the resources to mitigate those consequences. But they must hold back so the necessary lessons are learned. God was holding back while Israel was enslaved in a foreign land. God's silence meant that his people felt abandoned. and even the royal line of King David was being obliterated. The people wondered, how could God keep his promise to have someone on David's throne forever if that line stopped now? The great tree, the family tree of the line of King David, had been chopped down. But a little shoot was growing out of that stump. The family tree, you see, refused to die. The shoot, this branch, Jeremiah said, was going to grow into something greater than the world had ever seen. Jeremiah broke God's silence. He gave the promise God had given him. This branch from David will be my agent to make justice and righteousness happen. And don't we need that again today? You know, many of the exiles from the time of Jeremiah did return, but in time the Holy Land fell under the rule of the Roman Empire. You know, that Christmas narrative we hear each year from Luke reminds us that it was Caesar Augustus and his call for a census that was the table setter for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, fulfilling a prophecy hundreds of years old. But what happened to the people? As Jesus grew, the people became more and more restless under the thumb of Rome's harsh rule. Taxation, limiting the freedom of the people, bringing corrupt ways into the Jewish way of life, tensions were increasing. One time, when Jesus had been engaged for public ministry about the 3 years, nearing the end of his time, he was in Jerusalem, walking near the temple, and he told people what was about to happen. Some of it had to do with Israel's relationship with Rome, and some of it had to do with the end of time. I'm going to read to you now from Luke 21, 25 to 36. He said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. The powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things take place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, to stand before the Son of Man." Jesus said this people, this generation will not pass away. It can also be translated "this people." And when he said that this people will not pass away before all these end of the world events took place, some of what was in view was near term. The Roman were going to invade in about 30 years after Jesus' resurrection. And that included the famous siege and last stand at King Herod's mountain fortress of Masada. But the real miracle is when we understand Jesus to be saying "this people," and sometimes he chose dual meaning words on purpose. The Jewish people will be preserved throughout the ages until the consummation of history, when history comes to its climax with Christ's return. So the siege of Jerusalem was in view. These things are about to take place, he said. And Jesus was saying the Roman attack would not succeed in removing the Jewish people from the globe. Israel would and will survive. God will always protect his people. And we all know enough to know that that's been a miracle in itself. You see, they still have a special place in his plans. because of God's protection, Israel has endured miraculously in spite of persecution throughout history. You know, take that, Hitler and your Holocaust. Take that, Russian czars and their pogroms. Jesus promised that God would raise up a righteous branch from the stump of the royal line of David, that the Savior would administrate justice and righteousness on the earth. And that justice and righteousness are the crying need of our world today. I remain hopeful that if we do obey the instruments of human authority which God has instituted, COVID will be brought under control. It doesn't mean we don't desperately need justice and righteousness. You see, it's important for us to understand just how thoroughly messed up our world is, and that COVID has made it worse in more ways than just being a physical illness. Do you remember when we were all saying, thank heaven we have the internet to help us through this? I think you're with me that we need to temper that just a mite. Social media has become the unwitting breeding ground for unsocial behavior. We don't see each other, so too often we just sit behind a screen and hurl verbal nuclear weapons at one another. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's not loving your people, loving your neighbor people. Internet-born antagonism spills out in violence and brutality. Haven't we seen that? We need righteousness instead. COVID plus internet also equals depression. Comes from not being able to be with the people who brighten your day. The same isolation that prevents us from passing on a virus also prevents us from caring for each other in person. Overdoses, debilitating addictions continue to rise in consequence. See, some of you know that I'm part of the Substance Abuse Prevention Committee. The opposite of addiction is community. We need righteousness instead of what we've got now. COVID's also changed our economy. I'm just saying all these things to remind us how much we need this justice and righteousness that the scriptures promise us. Jeremiah promised the royal agent of God would bring. COVID has changed our economy. Some businesses were poised excellently for this situation. Don't you wish you had stock in Zoom? Others have learned to pivot. Great. But we're not doing a good enough job responding to the chronic joblessness hitting part of our population, where housing shortages and the gig economy are causing the working poor of our societies to expand. That section is expanding exponentially while falling further behind. You know, many of the delivery jobs created still leave the worker without health insurance while exposing the worker to greater risk of contracting COVID. That's unjust. That calls for justice. Instead of only observing Advent, we need to find our ways for each of us to be Advent. You know, I celebrate the Teen Challenge is combining eternal help, the spiritual training that helps find freedom from drug dependency, finding it in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, but combining it with temporal help, real world vocational training. Each of us has the opportunity to cause a bit of the kingdom of God to advance over the gates of hell that would entrap our neighbors, friends, and relatives. We can help the kingdom of God advance. The power of the Holy Spirit will help us to make a real difference. Nonetheless, with the church through the ages, we call for Christ's promised second coming. Come soon, Lord Jesus. All of this is a great contradiction to a little piece of poisonous pablum that gets thrown out all the time in our culture. It's a half-truth. There's a truth to it. But the part that isn't threatens to cover over the more important correction. Here's the half-truth. Christmas is for children, or you don't really see the true meaning of Christmas until you see it through a child's eyes. Yeah, I know what's trying to be said, but really, Do children understand that Christmas witnesses to God's purpose to heal our broken world? You know, you get these grown-up aches so that you long to be a child again. But it's Christ coming that heals those aches, the broken heart. If we want to be like the Reformed Scrooge of the Christmas Carol and learn to keep Christmas all year round, great phrase, we will use Advent to train ourselves to be cooperating with God's goal of a redeemed society. And we can do this confidently. Advent shows us that Jesus will return and establish justice and righteousness on the earth so we can face the troubles of this life without fear. In the meantime, the church, all Christian believers, have an essential role to play. Will we be up to the task? Or will we sink like a cardboard boat? Ever been to one of these? Charities hold these cardboard boat races. They're sort of like, it's sort of like the crowd that gathers for a public hanging. You know, a few might make it, but it's the promise of a spectacular fail that draws the crowd. Will we be up to the task? A great Christian thinker drew an analogy between an obedient church and a fleet of ships, a flotilla. You could call this flotilla of the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. To mount a successful voyage, a fleet requires three elements. The first element is individually seaworthy vessels that stay afloat. So if our church is this navy, this flotilla, then each one of us needs to attend to the integrity of our own Christian discipleship. There's a saying, in order for the forest to be green, the tree, each tree must be green. You and I need to take care to be seeking the Lord's will in our lives, to be accessing the strength available through the Holy Spirit, and obeying, doing what Jesus would have us do, individually seaworthy vessels. The second element of an effective navy and an effective church is cooperation among the vessels so they do not collide. Anybody here ever watch a soccer league for five-year-olds? I call it sheep ball. No one plays a position. They all just crowd around the ball, wherever it is. Yeah, you're picturing it. I can hear. And when the players learn to each play their position, to do their own part, they instantly become the best team in the league. This is why, with new members, such we ask everyone, and especially new members, to learn and know what their spiritual gifts are, so that we as a church can be more effective for the kingdom of God. Cooperation among the members. We always have the inventories about discovering your spiritual gifts in the library. Any deacon can show you where they are. The final and third element is a common understanding of the destination, so that the fleet bound for Singapore doesn't half show up in Sydney. We each have to know that if any of these components is missing, the voyage will fail. Same requirements exist for an effective church. Neither individuals of good character, nor just laws, nor social structures are enough on their own. We each need to have the end in mind. You know, so for the church, we have these five watchwords. It's on that bulletin board when you come in that door, of worship and study and fellowship. Worship and study grow you. Fellowship grows you, but fellowship is also where you begin to turn and move outward. Fellowship and service and witness. Worship, study, fellowship, service, witness. Five watchwords for our church. They're the building blocks of the kingdom of God in our midst. And so we watch. We watch for the signs of the kingdom, and we encourage them. Encourage what God is doing. In this Advent time, until Jesus comes again, watch for the kingdom, the signs that the kingdom of God is at work in our midst. Now, we see those signs as we see God to continue to defend the Jewish people. You can watch history, something Keith Myers is so good at, pointing out this. even as every geopolitical neighbor seeks their annihilation. See, it doesn't matter if their leadership is faulty. The people matter to God. He cares about individuals. The bigger signs are the little outbreakings of the kingdom of God. Every time an individual turns his heart over to the Lord, every time that individual grows in Christ-likeness, the kingdom of God advances. Every time a family overcomes wounds and obstacles that rise against it, the kingdom of God advances. And every time communities grow in justice and in righteousness, righting the wrongs and doing the right for all people, regardless of social class or racial origin or political affiliation, we participate in God's work of filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God, like the waters cover the sea. Individuals, families, communities, rejoice as you see the signs of the kingdom of God, because that means the return of Christ is near. In conclusion, then, do not fear. Christ will return and establish justice and righteousness on the earth. Watch and you will see the signs of his coming, knowing that Jesus will return and establish justice and righteousness, enable each of us to face trouble without fear. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you that your word builds confidence. We thank you that you assure us that no matter what happens, you are near, you will work it for good in the lives of those who love you. Help us, Lord, to come right up as close to you as possible, that we are under your protection, that we are guided by your leadership, that we enjoy your grace. And Lord, would you continue to prosper this church, that we might reach out in joy and in power in the love and grace of Jesus. Save us from discouragement, Lord. And Lord, please come soon and establish your kingdom upon this earth. For Jesus' sake, amen.